Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, in the past year, the year of our Lord 2019, Jason van Hagenbos exchanged time for eternity on June 18 at the childhood age of 3 years. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Let us sing, therefore, from Psalter 244, stanzas 2, 4, and 5. Lord, through all the generations of the children of our race, in our fears and tribulations, thou hast been our dwelling place. Ere the vast and wide creation, stanza 2, 4, and 5, each succeeding generation, at thy mighty word appears, thou dost count in time's duration, one day as a thousand years. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 244.
Congregation, the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this New Year's morning, you can find recorded in the book of the Proverbs and are of the 18th chapter. Proverbs chapter 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool had no delight in understanding, but at his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is a strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and his and before honor is humility. He that answered a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor use it entreaties, but the rich answer it roughly. A man that had friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of this earth, we may acknowledge Thee once again for Thy sparing hand over each and every one of us, that we may begin this new year together. May it be in Thy favor, and may it be also with Thy blessing. But there are those also that must go forward without a child. O Lord, that Thou may remember them in a special way, and that Thou may uphold them, and that Thou may strengthen them, and that Thou may comfort them, and give what is necessary to go forward. also the grandparents and all those that are round about them, and also others, and they must go forward without a wife, go forward without a mother, others a husband, those that have other crosses, O Lord, that Thou may look upon each and every one in their circumstances, for all the misery that we have brought upon ourselves, and Thou yet dost have compassion for those who do mourn, and those who are weak, and those who do suffer, that Thou may remember them even as they also do go forward into this new year. And that Thou may be round about them, look upon us all together. For we are all subject to the consequences of sin. And we do not know what this year will bring forth for us and for our children. But give us understanding hearts that we may seek Thee who art the God of the future and who does hold it in Thy hands, and that we may seek to be hidden in the secret place of the Most High, that we may dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. For there we shall be safe when 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, and yet it will not come nigh unto Thee, Thou dost say, oh, that Thou may give to us altogether that desire, that we may be so hidden under the shadow of Thy wings. For there we are safe for the time, and there we are safe for eternity. Remember those also that are afflicted and sick. We remember in a special way the mother in her home who has lost now her sister, but Thou knowest also her own weakness. Wilt Thou look upon and her in Thy mercy? Wilt Thou strengthen her if it could please Thee? And wilt Thou give her patience and grant her yet a visit from above, as Thou alone art able to do? And all those that are afflicted with the sicknesses of the body, but also the sicknesses of the mind, when they're not able to understand one another anymore, remember them when they have reached an old age, that are lying in the nursing home, and that are cared for by others. Help all that are about them each and every day. And but wilt Thou supply for them in the breaking down of both mind and body. And oh, that Thou may visit them also, and that Thou may speak unto their souls when there is discouragement in old age, when a man does see that he goes to his long home, and when we know what we stand in need of, and but we have not that which is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace, and then the fears can be so increasing. But oh, that Thou may give a place by Thee, give a place upon their knees. Oh, give them to bend and their old knees before Thee, and to fold their hands, and to confess unto Thee that all their iniquity and sin. For there is forgiveness with Thee, O Lord, that Thou mayest be feared, that Thou may do it even unto those who are so discouraged. Remember all those that are depressed, For thou knowest all that Satan does in this world. And then he brings low, and he gives no hope or no expectation. But it is not thy way, O Lord. Wilt thou cut off all the expectation that is from man? Oh, that we may despair of all hope that is from the side of a man. And wilt thou give that hope that is in thee? For thou hast sent thy dear Son into this world, and that he may suffer, and that he may die, and that he may take away all the sin of his church, all that is preached unto us continually in our day. And wilt thou give also the application? We cannot give it unto ourselves, and we cannot make ourselves to feel our sin, our iniquity. We cannot give unto ourselves that sorrow after God. Oh, that thou may grant it unto us, each and every one, and that we may be given also to hear something in thy holy word, in all the distress and in all the need of our soul, that will make us to rejoice in thee. Oh, that that hope which thou wilt never make ashamed, and that it may become also our hope, each and every one in a personal way. Remember fathers and mothers as we do attempt to bring up our children. Lord, thou knowest all our shortcomings, all our ignorance. Wilt thou help us? Wilt thou give us faithfulness? And wilt thou give us diligence? Wilt thou give us the tender fear of thy name to burn in our hearts, that we may be an example and an instruction unto our children, and that thou may work also in their young lives, and that thou may give unto them also to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Oh, this world that does offer them so much, but it is such a liar, and it is so disappointing, that they may see it and feel it in the days of their youth, and that they may be given to fear and to serve thee. Remember also all those that are not married. Wilt thou watch over them and be near to be a companion unto them, as we have heard it out of thy holy word? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, that thou may give unto them also to feel something of that companionship, for thou wilt be as an elder brother unto thy own people. Oh, that we may be given also together to seek thee while thou art to be found in the year that lies before us. Oh, that that urgency may be bound upon our hearts, that we may see and feel that this short time is fast hastening away, even as a stream bears all its sons away, and that we cannot stop it, and then it is going with great power to bring each and every one to that point of which it will be said also of us, "And he died." O Lord, wilt thou grant unto us that new life, that thou may bless the labors of our hands, each one of us, in the places where we labor in this year, in the home, the mothers, the fathers, wherever that we may be, that thou may give also thy word to prosper in our midst as a congregation. Lord, give us also that strength in an increasing way, that we may do our labors in the midst of this our flock. But may it be also with the blessing of thee. Oh, that it may not be for the increase of the condemnation, but that it may be for the bringing forth of new life, that thou may bless us from above with blessings out of thy heavenly store, and that we cannot miss upon our short journey, and that thou may look upon our school, remember our teachers, and all the administrators and all those that labor therein. Oh, that thou may remember and help them. Oh, give them to feel each and every day the importance of that task, and that they may also feel and that thy arms are underneath, and that they receive help also from above, and that they could not do it without thee, to set an example before our children and our youth, and that thou may give also thy blessing, and that thou which may be instructed in our own Christian school, that it may be for the welfare of our youth and our rising generation. Remember parents also in the home, and because it is the first responsibility of father and of mother, oh, that we may not forget it. Look upon us as a consistory. Bless all the labors that are done in the midst of the congregation in catechizing and in home visitation. And wilt thou grant thy blessing upon thy holy word. Look upon us as nations and as peoples. Thou knowest all the needs. Wilt thou thyself look upon us in this year, the elections that will take place in the United States in the year that is to come. O Lord, we beseech thee also for them, and that thou may watch over it for good. Bring us back as nations to thy law and to thy testimony. Lord, wilt thou so look upon all those that bring thy word, increase their number. Could it please thee when the curatorium hopes to meet in the coming year? Oh, that we may be gladdened with thy deeds, and that we may hear that thy work, and that thy spirit that has gone forth in the midst of the flocks, and that thou hast lowered a man, and that thou hast brought him in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and that thou hast humbled his pride, and that thou hast brought him into that great need, and that thou hast revealed thy dear son in his soul, and that thou hast called him unto that great work, and that he also may publish abroad the name, that only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Remember all that bring thy word. Do strengthen all thy truly sent servants. Give them to feel also that thou art near, and that thy help that is experienced and felt, and that thy word is blessed. Be with those also on the mission field, thy servants that labor there, those all that are helpers there, and all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou be on their right and on their left also of those who are persecuted, who are discouraged perhaps under all the happenings? Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, and wilt thou encourage them in thee, as we can read of thy servant. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and thou didst take care of him. Wilt thou look upon thy word then, and give that it may be blessed and sanctified, and that many may be brought in, that there may be a rich harvest in this year, that thou may give that those fields that are white and ready to be harvested, that they may be brought in. Look upon us also in this hour, when we do try to bring a little portion of thy word. Wilt thou strengthen and help us? Wilt thou give us clarity of mind, and that we may be able to bring it in a way that is understood by all? But wilt thou also give the power to be felt, because it is thy own word? Oh, accompany it then by thy own spirit, and grant thy own blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 381, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 381. And the last collection today is for our North American General Mission. beloved congregation, on behalf of the consistory, then we wish to wish each and every one of you the Lord's richest blessings in the year that is to come, when we may be spared by Him in it, according to His own good pleasure. We do not know what this year will bring forth. Those things are hidden from us, but they are not hidden from the Lord, but they lie in His own good and secret counsel. They are all decreed by Him. And not only decreed by Him, but they are also in the way of His providence brought forth by Him. And yet, it is not without significance what the motives and the works of mankind are. Because man, he is used by the Lord as an instrument in order to bring forth His eternal counsel. And therefore, Solomon, he says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor a device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave." But what are now those things that our hands find to do? Because it makes a great difference what our hands find to do. We can read also in God's Word that a man does not profit who has labored for the wind. When we would do our labors and we would get a chinook wind, and all of those labors, everything that we had done, would be completely blown away, then we would say, "For what have we labored?" We will remind you what we have told you before of a very particular mother, housewife, who has cried to us on her deathbed, that she said, "I have wasted my life straightening the pictures which are on the wall." She was a very particular woman, and that is good, mothers, that you have a clean house. That is good, it is right, it is proper, because God is a God of order. And yet she saw something in the end of her life, that some of those pictures, they could have hung a little crooked. And then she said to me, "Now I have to die. And now I cannot die." What will we look back upon as we are lying upon our deathbed? On the other hand, and then we can read the Lord Jesus, He spoke about a man who was seeking goodly pearls. And then he has found the pearl of great price, of great value. He saw such a value in it that he sold everything. Everything that he had, he said, "It is of no value in comparison." And he went and he bought it. Can we find ourselves also in the life of this man? We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider with you the first verse of Proverbs 18, which was read together. Proverbs 18, verse 1. "Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." So far the words of our text. Intermeddling with all wisdom. First, the substance of this intermeddling that is in the last part. "And intermeddleth with all wisdom." Second, the means of intermeddling that is in the middle part. a man having separated himself. Third, the spring of this intermeddling that is in the first part, through desire. Intermeddling with all wisdom, first the substance, second the means, and third, the spring of this intermeddling through desire. A man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What does it mean to intermeddle? That is a word that means to expose. That is, we would say, to uncover, to lay something completely bare, to expose it. That is often used negatively. Solomon, he says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So he speaks about a fool. And a fool, he goes to meddle, he goes to seek to uncover and to lay bare the strife that does not belong to him. He tries to interfere in it, he tries to get into it, to enter into it. Solomon, he says, he is like a man that takes the dog by the ears. If you take a dog by your ears, children, what will happen to you? Then the dog is going to bite you. And so he says it is when a man who seeks to intermeddle with strife that does not belong to him. But here, that word that is used in a positive way, that it speaks about intermeddling with wisdom, that is to enter into that wisdom, to seek to expose that wisdom, to lay that wisdom bare, to enter into the substance of it. Thus it is speaking about wisdom that is something that is hidden. Wisdom that is something which is covered, it is secret, it is closed. Speaks about wisdom that is hard to enter into. It is something that you must labor in order to find. Thus to intermeddle, that is not just to speak about a light or a cursory involvement. No, that is speaking about something that is very, very deliberate and an intimate involvement with something. That is something that is entering into the heart of the matter, into the core of the matter. It is something that is entering into the essence or the very being of a thing. It is like a nut, children. So if your mother will buy sometimes the nuts that still have the shell on them, and that shell that is very, very hard, if you try to take that nut and you squeeze it, you try to break that nut with your hand, you will find out that you cannot. You say, "Mother, how can I get the nut?" Because that nut, that is the edible part, that is the part that has substance, that has value. And then your mother will say, "Well, then there is a little device that we use, that we are able to crack the shell of that nut, and we can get inside." And that is the way that Solomon, he is here speaking about wisdom. He says that is something that is in that shell. That is something that needs to be labored, that we may get at the very substance, at the very heart, at the very core, at the very, very essence of it, that we may intermeddle with it, and that we may enter into it and lay it bare. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What do we read? We read about much wisdom in the Bible. Especially we read about wisdom in the Proverbs, because Solomon, he was the wisest man. We read in God's word that there was no man that was given wisdom like unto Solomon up to that time, neither should any man be given wisdom like Solomon after that time. And so Solomon, he has been given much wisdom for the time. We know, we think about, for example, those two women, how that they have fought over the living child and the wisdom that Solomon was given that he may discern between the truth and the lie. What a useful wisdom that was for Solomon, that was his desire that he may rule over such a great people as the people of the Lord. And because that was his desire, the Lord has given him that wisdom that was necessary to rule over that people of the Lord. It can be that you think that you would never have the wisdom to be an office bearer, that you would never have the wisdom to be a minister, and indeed that takes wisdom, but that wisdom does not come from us. No, when the Lord, he called Solomon to be the king, and then he asked for that wisdom, and the Lord, he gave him that wisdom when he needed it for the work that he had to do. And so the Lord is working also for all of his office bearers, and he gave that wisdom unto Solomon. Many, many things as a king, and we need that wisdom, fathers and mothers, in that year that lies before us, also for the governing of our own households. Solomon, he has spoken about many things. 3,000 proverbs we read that he has written. He has written 1,005 songs. And then he has spoken of many things that have to do with this life. We read that he spoke about the trees, from the cedar tree that was in Lebanon to the myrrh tree that was springing out of the wall. And that he spoke about beasts and about fowls and creeping things and about fishes and all kinds of things in this world. The wisdom that the Lord has given has drawn also kings from all the nations. When they did hear of that wisdom of Solomon, that these kings, they have come. Think about that Queen of Sheba, that she has come seeking to hear something of that wisdom of Solomon. We live in a day when knowledge is much increased. And you can also get much of that knowledge on the internet, young people, and much of that is good. Much of that is good. But we hope that you use that internet only in a good and in a right way. But what are now the things that you seek to know? And there is much knowledge in this world, and there are many good things to know. And that knowledge that is also so interesting, is it not? So many new inventions that there can be in this world. And now when we go to the Word of God, and then we read about Solomon, he says that he has given his heart to seek out all those things, all that knowledge and all that wisdom and madness and folly and all this that could be found in this world. Solomon, he has sought it out. He says, I made me great works. And we can read of those works in the Bible. And then he comes to the end. And when it was all finished, and then he speaks about what he has learned. And he says, I perceive that this also is vanity. And it is vexation of spirit, because he says, in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge, increaseth sorrow. And if that was now the end of all the searching of Solomon in the wisdom of this world, that is going to be the same end for us and for our children. But Solomon, he has also spoken of another wisdom. Because he was given another wisdom, he has spoken of a wisdom that does not increase sorrow. Or it is a wisdom that says, happy is the man that findeth me. Because whoso findeth me, findeth life. And these do receive the blessing of the Lord. So Solomon, would you not like to have him as your teacher, children? So you go to school, the teacher knows a lot, eh? But if you could now hear a teacher like Solomon, but he is in the Word of God, and he was instructed by the Lord, that is where that wisdom comes from. Or do you ask also that you may be instructed, not only as Solomon, but that you may be instructed by the Lord himself? He speaks about this other wisdom. James, he says, that is the wisdom that comes from above. That is where that wisdom dwells. It is a wisdom that is living in God. That is a wisdom that exists in God. But he says that it is a wisdom that also descends. Thus, that is a great wonder. That is a wisdom that does not only dwell above, and that is as a heaven of brass, and that wisdom stays in heaven, and that earth that is devoid, completely devoid of that wisdom. No, but the Lord, he has in his goodness given that wisdom may also descend from above. We heard something about that wisdom that is found in the Word. That is found in the Word himself. That is in the Logos. That is found in Christ himself. And what have we heard? We heard that wisdom that has descended from above, that has come in the way of his incarnation unto this world. Blessed is the man that intermeddles with this wisdom. Blessed is the man that enters into the mysteries of this faith, for whom this wisdom that is found in the Son of God, for whom that wisdom is exposed, for whom that wisdom that is laid bare. Oh, do you ever desire to intermeddle in that wisdom? Because to intermeddle in that wisdom is to intermeddle with the very thoughts of the Almighty God. Oh, to intermeddle in that wisdom is to penetrate into those depths of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, whose judgments are unsearchable, whose ways they are past finding out. Oh, that the creature of the Lord may be given to intermeddle, to lay bare the secrets of God. That is a wonder of the Lord, to intermeddle in that wisdom. Oh, that is to intermeddle actually in that question of Job. What did Job ask? What did Job say? He says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Oh, did you ever intermeddle with that question? How should man be just with God? That is a question, congregation, of our whole lifetime. That is a question concerning the relation between God and my soul. Did you ever intermeddle with it? I do not ask, can you answer it? How should man be just with God? Because we can ask that question in catechism too. And then our children, our little children, they can answer that question, how man can be just with God.
We do not ask if you can answer the question. But our text that speaks about intermeddling, it speaks about entering into, it speaks about laying bare, or it speaks about an involvement, a personal involvement. Or have we ever intermeddled with that question? Because by intermeddling with that question, a wise man becomes a fool. A wise man loses all his wisdom. He loses all his understanding because he cannot answer that question for himself. He cannot answer it in a personal way. Then he becomes a man that does not know it anymore. But by intermeddling with that same question, such a fool, he becomes a wise man. And because he receives a knowledge and he receives a wisdom that no man is able to gainsay nor resist in this whole world. Or you say, how is it? What are now the means? How does a man come to intermeddle in that wisdom? That is our second thought. What does it say? A man having separated himself. It is a great blessing if a man may intermeddle with that wisdom. Do you think so too? Or do you have only a desire, young people, to intermeddle in all the wisdom of this world? But I think that also in many of you children, that when you sit in the house of the Lord, and when you may hear the reading and the preaching, then I think there are some times that also in your heart, that your heart says, oh, I wish I also could have that knowledge. I wish that I also could be included in that true church of God. Oh, I wish that I also could intermeddle in that wisdom. Oh, do you ever have such desires in your young heart? Solomon, he says here that that is not easy. And yet he says it is a wisdom that is to be intermeddled with. You say, how? If it is a wisdom, I go to mother and father for wisdom. I go to school for this wisdom that is high. And I will have to go to college. I will have to go to university. I will have to get a diploma. I will have to get a degree, a bachelor's, a master's, a doctor's degree, that I may understand something of that wisdom. Is that so? Is not so? Why not? Because that is not a wisdom we just learn like we learn other things. But it is a wisdom that is revealed. It is a wisdom that is given by the opening up of the Lord himself. Oh, it is a wisdom that indeed that is a gift of God that is given to the most simple people in this whole world. It was given unto the disciples. They were just uneducated fishermen. The Lord Jesus, he says, that it is hid from the wise and the prudent of this world, the great men, the great learned men of this world. Hid from the wise and prudent. And it is revealed. It is opened up unto the babes. Opened up unto the little ones. Opened up to them who are simple of understanding. What do we read? We read of poor Hannah. Poor Hannah. Oh, you ever feel sorry for Hannah? Oh, Hannah, she is not in this world anymore. Though Hannah, she is today rejoicing, but she had a difficult life. Do you have a difficult life, boys and girls? Maybe like Hannah, because Hannah, she was persecuted. Does that happen in your life too? Does that happen in our own school sometimes too? That there are those that are persecuting and bullying other people. Oh, that's the way that it was with Hannah. And now, what do we read of Hannah? We read that Hannah came to a point that her countenance was no more sad. No more sad. How can that be? Do you know how that was? Well, it was because Hannah, she may intermeddle with this wisdom. She may enter into, just for a moment, in a personal way, the secrets of the Lord. Where did that happen? That happened in the temple of the Lord. Her husband could not give that to her. Are you powerless, husbands? Wives? Are you powerless to give that to your wife? To give that to your children? To give that to your husband? Hannah, she could not receive it from her husband. Or maybe you cannot receive it from your husband either. Maybe you cannot receive it from your wife either. And where now did Hannah go? Oh, she went. She rose up, we read. And she went then into the temple of the Lord. And there she was separated for a little while from all things. And there she may go on her knees. And there she may bow before the Lord, the all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth. And there for a moment the Lord may give her to enter on the most blessed secrets, so that she left that place so different than when she came in. That she left that place, she came into that place weeping. And she left that place, her countenance, we read, that was no more sad. Oh, read it, think of that publican. That publican. How he went into the house of the Lord, and how he came out of that house of the Lord. Because when he left that place, we read, he went down to his house a justified man. Where had he gone? Oh, he had gone into that temple of the Lord. He had separated himself from everything that was in this world. There he stood in the back, separate from that people, because he was not one of that people. And he was not like one of that people. But he was an outsider. And there he stood as a sinner. And as a sinner before God, he entered and he intermeddled with the secrets of the Lord. Do you know where the Lord deals with his people? The Lord deals with his people all alone. The Lord deals with his people in a personal way. Where did the Lord call Moses? He said, come up unto me, into the mount. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? He said, go forth into the plain. And there, that is where I will speak to you. Sometimes the Lord himself, he is separating his people. Luther in his Wartburg. Bunyan in his prison. And there in that prison, oh, Bunyan, he may enter into those secrets of God. He may intermeddle with that highest wisdom. Do you know what the Lord says? He says of his people, he says, behold, I will allure her, and I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and I will give her the valley of Achor, for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as when I brought her up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, how is it
that the people shall sing there when they are in that wilderness, or because they are given to intermeddle in that place where the Lord is dealing with his children, when the Lord has separated them, and when the Lord is speaking unto them to intermeddle with all wisdom. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he preached unto the people. The disciples, they heard it, but they did not understand. Is there sometimes you do not understand? Oh, then what did the Lord Jesus do? He dismissed the multitude. And then he said, come, my disciples, come ye apart. And then we read that when he was alone, there he expounded all things unto his disciples. And there they may enter into those blessed secrets of faith. Oh, blessed solitude. Blessed solitude, that is not solitude. And there they were with the Lord himself. Let us sing. The Psalter 203, 1, 2, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1, 2, and 3, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Thank you.
Our last thought, the spring of this intermeddling, what do we read? Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What is the cause that there is so little intermeddling with this wisdom? It is the lack of desire. Desire that is the spring of action. Desire that is the beginning of every work. And it is also that which maintains a man, especially when there are difficulties and things standing in the way. Then it is desire that brings a man through a work, that he may come to the end of it. Thus, when there is lack of desire, oh, there can sometimes be a beginning. Sometimes even with a supposed zeal. But there is no ending. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Where does desire come from? There is desire of this world, but that does not intermeddle with this wisdom. There is even religious desire, which does not intermeddle with this wisdom. Most I can make myself is a Pharisee. And that does not intermeddle with this wisdom. Rather the opposite. It was the publicans and the sinners who intermeddled with it. Where does desire come from? Say desire comes from life. That desire that is born with a child begins to hunger. He begins to thirst. He begins to cry. And he does not stop his crying as long as he is alive. But he is looking for the fulfillment of that desire. That is now also true concerning spiritual desire. It is not born just of religion. It is born of God. That is why the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into that kingdom of God." Why? Because all the desires, they shall fail through the tribulation. That must be entered, it must be gone through to enter into that kingdom of God. All other desires shall fail. But when this desire is born, it shall be carried through. Oh, that spiritual life that is bearing up the labor of the soul, that it may desire and that it may receive. Thus we read a man having, through desire, separated himself. When that desire that is coming, and then we see a man, no, we do not see that man anymore. You say, where is he? Cannot find him because he is in his barn, or she is in her closet, or there they are seeking to separate themselves. Why? Because there is no one else that can help me. Because there are the most personal questions that must be answered here. They are the questions that are between God and my soul. There they go upon their knees in their secret place. There they fold their hands They close their eyes and they say, "Oh God, where have I come from? Where am I going? How is it now between God and my soul?" Oh, they are life's questions. Cannot be answered in the bustle and in the busyness that is in this world. And therefore we see a man, he is going alone. He is going alone, and there he has a book in his hand. Children, do you ever go alone with a book in your hand? Young people, do you ever go alone with a book in your hand? What book is that? What book is that? I know that there are many books that you can read. They are not all bad. But we ask you, do you ever take another book in your hand? Do you ever take the Word of God in your hand and go all by yourself to separate yourself because your mother cannot give this to you and your father cannot give this to you, but only the Lord can give this to you? Or do you ever go and bow your knees before the Lord with a sermon book or another good book, an explanation of God's holy word of truth, that you may say, "O Lord, wilt thou convert me through desire?" Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Oh, where that true desire is, then he does not only begin to seek, but he also comes to intermeddle. Do you believe that? Oh, I think there are some here. They say, "Oh, I have not yet intermeddled. And I am afraid that I will never intermeddle. And I can tell you, even, I can think back in my life. I can think back of times when also I went up with the multitude to the house of the Lord with the voice of joy and the voice of praise. And where I sought, or I delighted in those things of the Lord. And I had an expectation in my heart. And I had a love in my heart. And I had a drawing in my heart. But it is all gone. It is all gone. And I'm afraid that it will never come back. Is that your fear? Why do you so fear this? And why are you that not absent then out of the house of the Lord? Why is your seat there always filled? And why then are there those places that still you bow your knees and that you say to the Lord, "O Lord, with my soul have I desired thee in the night." Is it then really true that that desire that is not altogether there anymore? It was in much tribulation that Jacob came to that brook. Much tribulation. Oh, he was not a stranger, but it was 20 years ago of the appearing of the Lord. But he was no stranger of it. But so much tribulation that man had been through. And now he must go back. And now he's still, after 20 years, he is afraid to die. He's afraid to die. He doesn't have it yet.
Oh, that assurance, young people. That assurance that today, sometimes, our young people, they are so quickly trying to claim. Oh, the Lord can work different. We agree. The Lord can do it quickly, but it is not the normal way. We must understand what it is. There, Jacob, he separates himself. He sends over everything that he has because his wives cannot give it to him. His children cannot give it to him. And all his servants cannot give it to him. And he sends over everything that he has. There we read that Jacob was left alone. And yet he was not alone. Because there we read a man wrestled with Jacob. And they wrestled all the night long. All the night long until the day began to break. And until that man said unto him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Jacob said no. "I cannot let thee go, except thou bless me." And there Jacob may enter. There Jacob may intermeddle with the secrets of God. There the Lord speaks to Jacob. When Jacob comes out of that place, then he says, "I have seen God face to face, and my life that is preserved." Congregation, to intermeddle with all wisdom. We have now begun this year, but what is now our intention? What do we want? What are we now going to seek? Would that not be a wonder? All together, we could, as a congregation, that we could intermeddle a little this wisdom. Young people, you have a little device, and that little device is not all bad. Make sure there's a filter on it, parents. Make sure you watch your children, even when there's a filter on it. But we ask you this question, young people. Are you always connected? You always have to be connected to someone else. Because when you are always connected, it means you are never alone. And how does the Lord work? How does the Lord deal with his people? The Lord deals with his people all alone. Do you ever feel it? Your friends cannot give this to you. They cannot give you to intermeddle in this wisdom. Oh, do seek it. Do not seek it only in an intellectual way. It is good. Oh, fill your head with the Bible. But that is not enough. You can intermeddle in that wisdom and still not be intermeddling in this wisdom. You know Ahithophel? We read that in the Bible, that he was a man. It was as if a man inquired at the oracle of God. And yet this man, he never intermeddled with this wisdom. And he remained an enemy of the true people of God. And he remained an enemy of God himself. Oh, cry. Cry in your seeking. Cry
that the Lord would give you to intermeddle. Do you know who intermeddles? Poor sinners. Poor sinners. What is the greatest wisdom of God? Do you know what that is? The greatest wisdom of God. How a poor sinner can be reconciled unto Him. How, the Lord says, shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage among the host of nations? How shall I do that? That is now the wisdom. Oh, that people, they can understand it for the whole world. How the Lord can give it to them, but they cannot understand how the Lord can give that to me. How the Lord can give that to me. Until they are given to intermeddle with a grace that is as wide as the ocean. Then they are included. Then they are included. Then they may enter into it. To the glory of the name of the Lord. To the salvation of their soul. O God, give. That as a congregation in this year to come, that we may be given this separation. Separation from sin. A separation from the world. To be separated by the Lord Himself. And that we may intermeddle with all wisdom. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give it to us? We don't deserve it. Not from the greatest to the smallest. Oh, that thou may forgive all of our many, many sins. And wilt thou include us also in all our wretchedness and in all our sin. Oh, separate us, Lord, as thy people. Wherein shall it be known that thou hast separated us, thy servant did say, is it not, in that thou goest with us? O, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. Wilt thou help us then? Look upon us, be with us in the rest of this week. Keep watch over and protect us. Forgive and take away our many sins. And we may acknowledge thee for the help that thou hast given unto us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 403, all the stanzas, and afterwards we ask the congregation to please remain seated. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for His saints to tell His praise abroad. And what follows in 403, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Reverend Dan Hollander. Reverend Dan Hollander, then also on this New Year's morning, on behalf of the consistory, on behalf of the congregation, it is also fitting that we speak a few words. For all you do, for all you what you are for the congregation, the many visits, the many labors, each time it is called upon you, in happy moments, in sad moments, you are asked to speak, to give advice, to give wisdom. Those that even the consistory does not know about, they all need you, they all seek you. What you are for the congregation and what you do in the congregation is much, much appreciated. Even, you know, with your strength, it is not always easy, but you are able to do it, and you do it with all your heart, visiting the old people, visiting the sick, the mourning ones, and on, the eyes upon you are what you're saying. And then above all, we may say, in bringing God's word in our midst, as we have heard in this morning, again that pointing to that one thing needful, and that one wisdom that is not found in man. And even if we have the wisdom of Solomon, if it is not with the wisdom that God gives, it is all in vain. And you may yet point that out unto us each Sabbath day if possible, and also in other ways in teaching the confession class, etc., etc. And then it is, yeah, also we know for you not always that easy. But then when we may yet stand here for a moment, and then we may yet say, when we see then in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, and then it is revealed to the Apostle John, and in verse 6 it says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And then it is the Lord that shows it unto his servants. And then who is the Lord? Adam, we may see that for a moment in verse 13. There it says that where the Lord describes then what he is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And that is now the foundation of the church. That is now the foundation of what you may bring. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, that then that may be experienced by you time and time again. I know it weighs also upon your heart so heavy. Is it well? Shall it be well? How shall I do this? And may you then receive strength out of that Alpha, out of that Omega, in whose hand lays now everything. And it goes further. What does it say then here? And it says here also, then it says in the next verses there, it is also in verse 16, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, the offspring and root of David. Then we may see we may have a God that knows of us. We now have seen it in the week past, where we're able to commemorate his coming upon this earth. Then in all this he was tempted like man was. So many things in without sin. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be not well, etc. Right? I don't have to expand that. But we may now go to one who has suffered, who has given that all for the church, the Alpha and the Omega. And then when it says one more further, and come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of that water freely. And that is now the fountain. That is now where we see the rock, the foundation, and the fountain of that water. May that now be given also in this new year, that you may know, how shall I say it, but in an abundance receive of that. That you may know in an abundance receive of that, and then it shall come forth in the congregation. Then it shall go, as it were, it shall be felt, it shall be experienced, that it may be a blessing for your own soul, for the congregation, for all of us. That as consistory we may be united, that we stand brotherly together, also in this coming year, stand for the truth. The congregation is growing, we may see it in an outward sense. For the third time, Fort McLeod hopes to occupy a new building. Yeah, for the third time. And sometimes that has gone through deep waste. We don't have to expand on that, but it can be gone in such a quick moment. And in an outward sense, growth, it is something to be thankful for. It increases the responsibilities. But then may there yet be prayer that there is yet an inward growth, that also may be found. And that in all these ways that you may receive now, that upholding of the Lord and that help and that experience that the Lord may give what is needed in this coming year. That is what we wish for you, for your family, for your wife, your family, in all the needs, what is congregation. Also, when we may begin again a new year, we have heard it in this morning hour. What is now necessary? That one thing. And how can we now seek that one thing? It is only by prayer that we seek now while he is to be found, while we call up on him when he is near. Because what does it say further in verse 6? It says, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And then that word shortly, that is now written in the time of the Apostle John, and that is many years ago. But we may, and we don't have to prophesy, that is not what we're here for. But we can see what the Lord has given in his word, that the time cannot be long anymore. The time is going fast. And whether it is now going to the end time, which is for sure, we do not know. But our life is also going to an end. And then it shall be, how shall it now be? What have we now done with the words that we have received? What have we now done? What that the Lord has placed in our way? May we be upon that way. May it yet be noticeable in the congregation that we do not belong to the world. That world lives in our heart. But I cannot say it enough. Let there be a separation. We cannot serve the world and the Lord. It cannot be. We cannot ask for a blessing. We cannot receive a blessing that way. We must seek the Lord in the way that he has given unto us in his word. May that also be the desire of the congregation. Do not leave your seats empty. Use your places prayerfully. Pray for your servant, for our minister, God's servant. Pray for your consistory. We stand in need of it. We are but sinful men. We cannot bring forth anything from ourselves. But may you yet remember in your prayers and in your thoughts. And with these words I wish to end. And then I'm going to ask you to sing from Psalter 374. And I will do that standing. And that is that also these words, that it may yet be given to Reverend and Hollander, that he may experience that. And that is it, the verses 1 and 3, and believe that is 1 and 3, I think, is what we're going to sing. Yeah, 374, 1 and 3. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad. Oh, praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. We'll do that standing, 1 and 3, of 374 instead of the doxology.
Thank you, Mr. Moons, for your kind words. We hope they may be fulfilled, and I would like to take this opportunity also to thank you as a congregation for your very hearty and generous support in every way. And may the Lord give his blessing upon us all together in this year. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.